Hey, everybody, welcome to Matt Men, your source for all things professional wrestling. I'm Andrew Zarian, and today, man, what a show we got for you. Breaking news stuff, AEW Revolution preview, and a whole lot more. Of course, with me as always, my Tully Blanchard to Arn Anderson, the one, the only, Rich, the Hammer Fist Stambolian.
Oh, once a horseman, always a horseman. Once a Matt Man, always a Matt Man.
I want to be a horseman, not a horseman.
Like a minotaur.
Yes.
Like a centaur, I'm sorry.
Like a centaur. I want to be a centaur.
Top half horse or bottom half horse?
Oh, no. Top half horse. Like horse. So, I want to be Bojack Horseman.
So a horse head, man body.
Yes. Guys, before we begin today's show, and man, a lot is happening. I broke the internet. I broke the pro wrestling world. I broke the internet. I broke a lot of viewers.
Yeah.
I broke a lot of followers, so I want to talk about this in detail now that I finally can, which I want to thank a bunch of people to help me put the story together. I want to give credit where credit is due. But before we continue, guys, if you enjoy the show, if this is the first time you're tuning in, hey, listen, we do a pro wrestling show. It's a little different than most. We try to have fun with pro wrestling. We talk about the things that we love. Rich and I are 20-something year-long friends. We've been watching wrestling our entire lives, so we genuinely love the sport, we love the product, and we talk about pro wrestling because we love to, and we love everything about it. We love the community, we love the tweets from you guys, so it's been amazing to be able to do this for the last 10 years. If you're new to the show, buckle up. It's a lot of fun, especially our watch-alongs, which we're going to talk about what we're doing this weekend. For our AEW Revolution watch-along exclusively on the Wrestling Observer website and, of course, F4W's YouTube page. So we're going to talk about that and a whole lot more. So we're going to go into NXT and everything, obviously, but I kind of want to stay focused today because there's so much to break down through the week. But before we go on, sad news to start the show. Jim Crockett Jr. passed away at 76 years old. He was in hospice care for kidney and liver issues. And he personally requested to be taken off dialysis. I think he realized the difficulty he was facing, and there really wasn't much more they could have done. And he passed away in hospice care yesterday while AEW was going on, right, Rich?
Yeah, man. And, you know, very unfortunate. Rest in peace. But what an interesting night to go out, especially with what happened on the show.
Yeah, a lot went on. Listen, I think a lot of people forget how instrumental Jim Crockett Jr. was to professional wrestling. Obviously, he took over his father's company, Jim Crockett Promotions, which they did a whole lot more than pro wrestling. If you're from the mid-Atlantic area, like North Carolina, South Carolina, going into Virginia, I mean, Jim Crockett ran tremendous shows over the concerts. A lot of people that I know that are in the music business that are a little older, one of my friends, Mike Phillips, he came from the record industry in North Carolina, and he knew Jim Crockett as a music venue promoter and not so much a pro wrestling promoter. So there's a tremendous legacy there. I would really recommend fans, newer fans, go and read up on Jim Crockett and see how this whole thing came up, because he was the number one promoter in the world at one point, North America for sure, at one point. And the demise of Crockett Promotions really was rapid. And a lot of it had to do with bad accounting, bad bookkeeping, purchasing. You know, Mid-South did not help because they put them in tremendous amount of debt. And before they knew it, they were gone. And Turner had to come and pick them up. And that was the beginning of WCW. But like Rich said, tonight was a great homage to that era of pro wrestling. And something we will probably not see again, which is pretty cool that we got to witness this last night. And of course, you know, he passed away on the same night. So a lot of thought went into last night's show. We'll talk about that, obviously. Rich, Raw,
yes, sir.
You want to go straight into this?
Let's go.
It happened.
All right.
It happened.
Oh, my God. Finally, the thing that we've been talking about for a billion million years, they finally put that strap on Robert Lashley.
Robert Lashley, so, you know, I was waiting for the train yesterday. I was going into Manhattan, and I got to tell you, I envision Bobby Lashley not being a human being, and he's from a different planet.
Ooh. Okay, right? yes.
Lashley is an alien.
He
is from a rock planet, and men, women, they all look like him. All hairless. Okay. You cannot tell the difference if it's a man or a woman. They all look like Bobby Lashley, and they're all about 400 to 500 years old. That's the age span of that entire planet. But they all look like Lashley.
You know, I feel like you could easily work. They're doing like a He-Man and the Masters of the Universe reboot. I feel like you could easily put Bobby Lashley into that cartoon, and nobody would bat an effing eye. Because there were rock people on that cartoon. I don't know if you remember that.
There were rock. I remember the rock people. Yeah, I mean, just such an impressive. Let's talk about. We'll break this down. But my God, what an impressive looking guy, right? And when you look at this guy, if you're a casual fan, you're gonna be like, "Oh yeah, that's a world champion. I got that. Look at him. He's an Adonis.
Impossible body type." To achieve for a fan, right?
Yes.
Like that's, I shouldn't say a viewer. I mean, like there's plenty of people who are like big jacked and ripped, but I think, you know, we talk about this on the show sometimes where you look at certain guys on the roster and you're like, yo, this dude looks insane. That's like an insane. Andrew, how long do you think it would take for you to get as jacked as Bobby Lashley?
Are we talking like as jacked for my frame or just get obscene like him?
As big as your body can handle, and you're already like a fit dude, I feel like it would take at least 7 years to get,
I was going to say it would take me probably 6 to 8 months.
Okay. I want to see this. I want to see like, this transformation.
But I don't possess the dedication to ever be able to do that. You know
what
I mean?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah,
it takes such a unique person to be able to do that. He's just unbelievably impressive to look at. So this was interesting how they did this.
Mm-hmm.
So the story of Raw pretty much was that Miz was trying to duck out of the championship match.
Right, first with diarrhea.
First he had the poo-poos, yeah. And then so they didn't do it. And then finally at the end of the show, by the way, ratings held up for Raw. Ratings were not bad. Whatever they attempted worked. The hourly drop was not as significant as it is most weeks.
Mm-hmm.
People stayed and watched. Teen girls were really into it for some reason. They didn't have the normal drop off of teen girls. It did very well amongst 30 to 40 year olds as far as the ratings went for that show.
Okay.
So listen, I like The Miz. I got to tell you, I think this is the Miz is going to be a story of the impossible.
Yes.
And there is a tremendous amount of casual viewers that absolutely adore The Miz and they love everything about The Miz.
100%.
Right? And I see that. And I saw that with the reaction from people, my friends that are just casual wrestling fans. You know, they'll watch Raw every now and then, they'll watch AEW every now and then, and they watch pay-per-views, you know, but they're not reading about this stuff. They all love him. So
yeah,
it was something interesting to see. Very short term, I'd love to see him actually hang on to the title and really do a program. But the purpose of this was to get the title to a transition champion to put it on Lashley. They dragged this out all night. Shane McMahon is all involved in this. And it was a squash match at the end.
Let me ask you something. When Shane comes out, do you pop for Here Comes the Money?
I do. Yeah. Yeah, I still do. I'm still into Shane coming out.
It's weird, right? Isn't it like so far into the future in 2021, you hear that dopey music and you're like, ooh.
It 100% is dopey music. It's 2021. You're still hearing that. But there's a couple of those moments. Like, we got that last night, man. I was a kid again. The nostalgia thing. And listen, you want to say I'm biased? Yeah, you know what? Maybe I'm a little biased because I enjoyed it a lot because it reminded me of my childhood. You know, seeing Tully Blanchard coming out there and Russell, which we'll go into. Very interesting. But I got to tell you, I'm loving what they're doing with Lashley. I have no complaints on that. I think right now, I think this is the first time in a long time that WWE has put both championships in a very interesting situation, right?
Oh, 100%, dude. Like, we've talked on this show at length about how, you know what, Drew should keep that title on him for like the next like 2 years or whatever. And then all of a sudden they're like, nope, it's The Miz. Oh, by the way, gotcha. It's Bobby Lashley.
Yeah.
So, you know, you were saying this kind of opens it up for a lot more people on the roster. And it's been a very long time since we had that.
Yeah. You know, Rich and I were, what he's talking about is that Rich and I were talking about gatekeeping. Yes. And, you know, you're absolutely right. We are right now in an era where you don't have a gatekeeping champion. I guess the closest is Roman, but he's the guy.
Right. But I, you know, like the term, the gatekeeping champion thing is kind of interesting because it's not, I feel like you could have used that term maybe with like a Hogan or a Cena, right?
Hogan,
like,
Cena, Bruno,
you know,
Trip,
like
Hunter. Oh,
like I'm not doing the honors for this guy or whatever speculative backstage nonsense that we think happened, right? But at this point in WWE, I really feel like the control is centrally with the office, right? So if they want to keep that belt on Brock, it's not Brock saying, hey, I'm not dropping it to so-and-so.
Yes.
It's the office saying, you are going to hold on to this until blah, 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 blah. This happens in the future, and then you drop it at this big moment. This whole thing with Bobby Lashley and The Miz and Drew McIntyre kind of makes me feel like the exact same thing they would do with the world title when they had the big gold belt on one show and then, you know, the WWE championship. So that's kind of cool that they're kind of bringing that.
But like, they've always had the focus on one title, right? That's always been the problem, right? That the focus is always on one title and the other one is always like the secondary, where it doesn't matter. It could flip flop from brand to brand. Sometimes a world champion or sometimes a universal championship is the main one. But like even with Drew holding the title, they made it seem important. And even on the other side, with Roman having a title, obviously you know it's important because Roman has it. So if you want to talk about the positivity for WWE, they've done a good job at telling you, you know, these two titles are the titles. It doesn't matter who holds it. These are the belts. Drew was Drew became the king. Mm-hmm. You know, he beat Lesnar. But now for Lashley, I mean, that main event picture for that WWE title, a lot of big dudes, a lot of big names, and a lot of people are involved in this. You know, you have, you know, think about the main event positioning right now in WWE. You got Lashley, you got Drew, you got Roman, and you have Edge.
Mm-hmm.
The Miz is up there, obviously, because he just had the championship. Sheamus is kind of there. Randy Orton's still in the mix.
Randy Orton will always be in the mix until this dude retires, by the way.
So he vomited. You didn't see him vomit black goo this time on Raw, but you did see him vomit. And there's an evil Randy Orton. I told you it's gonna happen, dude. I cannot wait for NWO Cena to show up.
And the more you say it, the more it's gonna come true.
The more it's gonna come true. I'm telling you, they're gonna be stuck. He's gonna rescue Cena from the void.
And then they're gonna be like the ultimate tag team in WWE. Have we ever seen Randy Orton and John Cena as a tag team and like win the belts?
I got to tell you, I'm positive they've tag teamed. I don't know if they've held the belts together, but that was an era that my memory is totally whacked out from that
era. Same here, because I feel like if they didn't, it was a missed opportunity, because I always think of like those oddball tag teams, like Austin, Shawn Michaels, Austin Dude Love, you know, where like these the bitter enemies got the tag belts.
Also, you know what it was? I think the reason why I'm so disconnected is that ECW relaunch was such a botch. They screwed that up so badly where it really affected me as a wrestling fan. I was like, I kind of want to back off for a little bit. It was just so disappointing. And as a person, I want to back off. Let's talk about NXT and how I broke the internet a couple days ago.
Oh my God,
I didn't think it was going to blow up like that. I kind of knew, but I didn't think because let's go back on the calendar, because I spoke to a few people to put this together. So back in February.
Yes.
I want to say around
last week.
I first got wind around the week of February 8th that this was happening.
Right.
And I think I told you, and I think I told MG Geek and Jonathan in the chat, I'm like, hey, I'm really hearing rumblings again about NXT moving to Tuesday. I had been asking for months, and every time I was told, but the way I asked was, hey, what do they think of the ratings, you know? And the response was same response that I get for Raw whenever I ask about Raw ratings. Oh, we're really, you know, we're happy to be partners with them. Everything is good. There's no problems here. No pressure from either side. We get what WWE is doing. It's a rebuilding time. and it's COVID era, so you really, you're limited with what you're doing, and they were fine with it, right?
Right.
So when the NBC announcement came that they were shutting down their sports network, that's when all the conversation started. So if anybody could, MJ Geek, if you could tell me what date that was, because I had specifically asked about Wednesday hockey, and this time the answer that I got was everything is on the table at the moment, right? Mm-hmm. Nothing is off the table. Everything is on the table. Not saying that they're going to move, but the conversation's happening.
Right, right.
So last week, I got 100% confirmation that this was happening. And I tweeted something like, changing days in April bring higher ratings in May or something like that, right? Kind of teasing it a little bit, but I don't want to. Because
very coy.
I couldn't confirm this. Right. I'm sorry, January 22nd, I was told that this would happen originally. Okay? So we're going back 2 months. So last week, I alluded to that. I sent a message to a couple people that you guys are very aware of, and they had, you know, they had said, well, you know, we've heard the same things, but nothing really. But the source to this story is not from a wrestling side of things, right?
Like, right.
The person that told me this doesn't give two shits about pro wrestling. He's, you know, there's two people that I spoke to at NBC. One is from the programming side and somebody from sales, that it's going to be almost impossible for anybody. I actually, Justin Robert Young asked me, he's like, he didn't ask me who the source is, but he's like, you think your source is going to get so much pressure? My response was, it would be impossible for them to know who it is.
Right.
That's
right.
How disconnected of a person this is from pro wrestling. I messaged this person, and this person said, hey, you want to go ahead? Go ahead and say it. Because it's now all over the company. You know, everybody knows now in the company internally.
Yeah.
Great. I'm like, yeah, you know what? F it. So I posted it, and it blew up.
You hit that launch button, man. That was like the nuclear launch codes. And also, like, I want to reiterate a little bit of something that what you just said. I feel like, unfortunately, a lot of wrestling fans think that all of pro wrestling is controlled by pro wrestlers / dirt sheet people. It's not. There's business people who don't give an F.
But I will tell you this.
Wrestling.
Though.
They like money.
Yeah. They love money. So I will say that the online conversation around NXT moving assisted to them making that decision.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, let me just put it that way. I'm not saying a specific dirt sheet or whatever was the cause, but the things that people write do impact decision making. And I think this was a perfect storm for hockey to go on USA on Wednesdays and for USA to use this as a moment to move NXT to a Tuesday night. So a couple things here. First of all, this is not a negative. And I saw so many people,
oh,
Vince waving the white flag. We got to stop that nonsense. Listen, this is a business. It's not. This is business. It has nothing to do with quitting. This is the best business decision that they could possibly make. Why would you hemorrhage viewership? Why would you split your viewership? Why would you take a quarter of your viewership and compete on the same night when that is no longer necessary? And I'm not saying that WWE had to move the show. What I'm saying is this is the smartest move that this company could have made, because based on internet trends, based on the ratings, you could see there's less interest in NXT and less conversation is happening around NXT than it did 2 years ago. It just, that says nothing. I mean, listen, the product is phenomenal. I love watching NXT and I think it's a great show. But if they need to move to Tuesday and get around 800 to 900,000 viewers, how is that a bad thing?
It's not. And you know what? I think the people who poo-poo on this decision are a little removed from reality in the regard of, like, listen, you have NXT on, you're going to have NXTs on Tuesdays. That's awesome, right? You're going to have AEW on Wednesdays. That's awesome. The invisible war between NXT and AEW on Wednesday nights is just that. It was a non-existent Wednesday night war.
Listen, you know, it was a nuisance. It really, I'm going to say, People are like, oh, I like channel flipping. No, you don't. I want to watch both shows. I don't want to. I don't want. And I hate that I miss certain things and I got to go back to watch certain things. It's unnecessary. And you're only hurting yourself by being a defensive measure. And listen, that was the whole purpose of NXT going up against AEW, was a defensive measure. It was a defensive measure to prevent them from hitting the ratings to get a better TV deal, which, you know, they got tens of millions of dollars from deal, estimated to be anywhere from $45 million to about $80 million. So, you know, that's a great thing for AEW, but WWE is getting paid for this show. They're selling ads for this show. USA's dedicated to NXT. So you gotta do your best. And having it on the same night, not saying that they were losing. I mean, you're talking about a couple hundred thousand people. You're not talking about millions being blown away by millions of people. Why would you want to split the audience? It's great that they're going on a Tuesday night.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And not only that, but listen, WWE in a certain regard will never lose. You know, you can complain about the product and the booking, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But this is a good example of like, listen, they're going to do better numbers. Their show that was already solid is going to stay the course, you know?
Yeah.
I think the thing that would have made it more of a quote unquote war would have been if both shows counter programmed and really had it in for each other, like WCW and Monday Night Raw, which didn't happen. You know, like Tony Khan's doing his own thing with AEW and he stood the course. NXT was doing its own thing with Hunter and their roster and they stood the course.
Yeah.
This is, I feel like, a generous shift for wrestling fans. You know, I hate channel flipping too. I have to like scramble to watch NXT on Thursday morning before we do the show.
Yeah,
you know?
Me too. I gotta pick one for the moment, and I try to flip flop when I do it. But generally, I tend to watch AEW live. This is all positive. Now, what does this mean for NXT? There will be programming changes. Obviously, I think we're gonna start seeing a little bit of those. I'm not gonna go into detail what they're changing up about the show, but there will be some changes to the feel of the show. I also have another NXT story, which it has to do with a takeover pay-per-view, right?
Okay.
There's a takeover pay-per-view set for the week of WrestleMania.
Okay.
I'm just going to say this. The date that WWE put out was the 8th for this, which is a Thursday.
Right.
I don't know if that's accurate or not, because what I'm hearing is that Wednesday show may be the takeover.
Interesting. Okay. I mean, it makes sense. Both make sense.
All right. I'm just putting it out there. I don't know. I got to confirm that. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what happens. But listen, big story, everybody. And thank you to everybody that helped, you know, push the story out. I know a lot of people credited me. I'll be on Wrestling Observer Live today at 3:30 to talk about the story and, of course, to talk about our AEW Revolution watch-along that we're going to be doing this Sunday, which is going to be a lot of fun. Rich is going to be in studio. And also our buddy Kyle, deathmatch expert. He's been in deathmatches.
Yes.
Who better to have in here be with someone that has had a deathmatch? Skewer stuck in his freaking head.
Kyle is going to strap C4 to his chest and jump on you in the middle of the watch along.
Are we going to get a Enchante versus Kyle deathmatch in the studio?
What was Kyle's wrestling name? Was it K-Train?
Nate Bateman.
Oh, the Nate Bateman, yeah.
Yeah, Nate Bateman.
I'm excited. I'm excited for that watch along. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's always great seeing Kyle, and I'm looking forward to being in the studio with you once again.
You could come in all you want. I'll be vaccinated by then.
Beautiful. I gave you my parameters. If a certain thing happens, I will do a backflip out your window onto a snowmobile.
Okay, perfect. Rich, you want to go through NXT TV highlights before we go into AEW?
Yes, sir. All right. So NXT, again, solid show. You had your opening match with Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch beating Timmy Thatcher and Tommaso Ciampa, which I'm a big fan of this tag team. And as I was watching it yesterday, I was like, ooh, this could be the WWE version of the Golden Lovers.
All right. You know, I got can we? I got to tell you something. Tomasa Ciampa, right? He's younger than me.
Yes. I had to look that up, too.
I want to let you guys know, he's 2 years younger than me. He is looking, and I'm not saying this in a bad way, right?
No, he's
looking like a deranged old man.
Yeah. He's, what is he, like early 30s, right? Or
35.
Yeah. So, like, he looks like 1985's version of what a 35-year-old looks like.
Yes. Dude, I'm like, holy moly, he's letting his hair grow in, obviously, and that's what it is. So it's all gray, salt and pepper. He's looking gnarly, man.
I'm digging it. I like the horseshoe. I like the salt and pepper. That was a fun match. Nice, hard hitting. They really put on a, you know, like, I feel like when we talk about AEW, this is gonna get like lost in the shuffle, but really strong match. And then you had Roddy coming out, cutting a promo on Adam Cole. I have a question for you really quick.
Yes.
I think I may have asked you this already. Is Roddy the modern day Dean Malenko?
Yes. I think that every time he comes out.
Right. Like, same body type, very athletic, maybe not the best on the mic, but like really a stalwart wrestler for that brand.
Yeah, very, very solid dude, man. I've never seen a bad match from him.
So Finn comes out. He calls out Adam Cole. I feel like they're really juicing Finn on NXT because this dude has been all over the place, like defending that belt, right?
Finn Balor, man. But they've built so many people to be a contender for that.
Yeah,
like right now, all the Undisputed Era. You also have Killer Cross, Karrion Cross, right. Mm-hmm. And you have Pete Dunne.
Yeah, and I feel like there's going to be like more people in the woodwork. Eli Drake at some point.
Eli, yeah.
So you mentioned yesterday on Twitter that you never want to see Finn leave NXT.
No, I don't.
Tell me why.
He's elevated so many people. I think having Balor there, think about what they did, right? They took Balor came, and that whole Undisputed storyline took the position of Ciampa and Gargano, which I think was needed to move them down a little bit. But Ciampa's been really elevating Timothy Thatcher. He's being used in a really instrumental way to get this guy over as a main event guy, and I think it's working. I believe that was the plan originally with Matt Riddle, but they decided to move Matt Riddle up. I don't think that program was supposed to end that quickly. Okay. And Ciampa's, you know, and Ciampa's doing this whole thing to get Austin Theory over. You know, that's the purpose of that. So, you know, it's very strategic and really smart how they move people. But man, this guy, he cannot have these matches on the main roster.
Oh, 100%.
Like, he's able to do stuff that they don't do on TV. Who's he going to feud with on the main roster? It's going to be him and Ricochet in 3 minute matches.
Or AJ Styles.
Or AJ, you know, like, I think he's fine there. He's such a good established guy to put there. Yeah. And I have no problem them moving a couple more people, putting him there. Why not move Samoa Joe there?
I want to see that happen, dude. I really do miss watching Samoa Joe wrestle.
Yeah, how long has he been out already? It's been months.
I think it has been close to a year. I want to say he came back early 2020, got an undisclosed concussion on the set of a commercial.
And then he got suspended.
Did he get suspended?
Yeah.
I don't even remember.
He had a 30-day suspension.
All right. I feel like we got to keep it a little tight so we don't get yelled at Mr. Gonzo for going over 90 minutes. So we also had The Way having a therapy session, which was the intermittent clips during the show.
I didn't care for that.
I'm on the same page with you. Also didn't care for it. I love everybody involved. Didn't care for it.
Yeah.
You had the return of Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax to NXT to defeat Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez, but there was like a snafu on who tapped out. It wasn't the legal person. You had Adam Pearce showing up also. So I feel like this is kind of leading into some kind of Mania or Mania takeover program, right?
It looks like it. It looks like it. I don't know what they're going to do with it. I don't think Dakota Kai and Gonzalez are going to get the tag titles, but why not?
I have a pointed question for you.
Shoot.
Do you think WWE took a page out of New Japan's book with regard to the women's hairstyles, where they'll make them work and work and work and work until they get good enough that they can come out with like an awesome haircut.
They love that stuff, man. Everybody has some wacky style, which works. Yeah. I think so. I think that's a little bit of, but you know, a lot of the women worked in these places.
That is true, but the two things that popped into my head was remember when like Taichi went away for a while?
Yeah.
And he came back as like the Phantom of the Opera with the blonde hair. I feel like they did that with Dakota Kai, where it's like she was one way for a very long time, and then she kind of had her thing, went away, came back as a heel, and now her hair is like pink and glamorous.
I'm cool with that. That's fine.
You are cool.
I am cool. Thank you. I'm a little warm right now. I have to turn my air conditioner on.
I thought you said you were going to turn it off. Eli Drake comes out as LA Knight. I feel like we're still going to be calling him Eli Drake for at least another month.
LA Knight is fine. I don't dislike the name, but I also don't love it, which is whatever. He cut an Eli Drake style promo. I think it was a little too long. Like,
okay,
if I'm going to nitpick it, I would say it was like a minute too long, the promo. And then here comes Bronson Reed right after.
I love that dude.
Yeah, did you watch the match? Did you see the actual match with him and Cameron Grimes?
Yeah. Listen, I've been high on Bronson Reed. I'm really, really digging this new tweak on Cameron Grimes.
I would love Cameron. What did I call him? I didn't call him Cameron. What did I just call him?
You called him Cameron Grimes.
Did I? Okay.
Yeah.
I want him to show up at Elon Musk's house and thinking that's his brother-in-law.
Oh, that would be amazing.
Because Elon had a kid with Grimes, the electronic musician.
Yes.
Right? So I want him to like be like, hey, Elon, let me in, and like start driving around in Tesla because he thinks they're related.
I would love that. I like the chemistry between Grimes and Regal backstage as well.
Yeah, man. I'm enjoying that a lot. Again, LA Knight promo, which was fine. Mm-hmm. I don't know who he's going to feud with. Who do you think he's going up against?
You honestly, like, that roster is so deep right now that you can put him with anybody and it'll be good. You know, like NXT has like a really insanely talented, like, working man's roster right now, you know? Swerve did that promo also. Mm. And I feel like he's going to inject himself into something. So I wouldn't mind seeing that.
Very nice.
What else did we have? We did Legado de Fantasma, Santos Escobar. They're murdering jobbers. I think he's, as far as Santos Escobar goes, I think he's exactly what WWE wants out of like a Latino superstar, where he brings the legacy, but also he's starting to speak English very well.
I mean, like, you're a Latino superstar.
Sure, thank you. But I was born here.
Yeah.
You know, he was huge in Mexico, and I think they want that crossover. You know, they wanted it with Andrade, they wanted it with Angel Garza. I think they're finally getting it with Santos Escobar.
Yeah, they definitely are. I like that they're taking their time with him and they're not really having him come up, you know, and they're beating up jobbers essentially, preliminary guys, which is cool. His English is getting way better too.
Yeah, yeah. And the main event, Finn beat Roddy Strong in a super hard hitting, great, great match. You know, like you said, Finn cannot, I guess, because of booking or whatever time, these are the matches that you kind of want to see Finn have.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I don't want to see him have any other matches other than this, you know, like him and Roddy, him and Kyle, him and Adam, like those are the style matches. And you get that in NXT. You know, they give them time. They have a really hard-hitting wrestling match, and people love it.
And they announced Adam Cole versus Finn Balor, I think, for next week, right?
For next week for the NXT title. Also, they set up a lot of other matches. Next week's show is a big show. You got Io Shirai versus Toni Storm for the women's title, Adam Cole versus Finn Balor for the NXT title, Xia Li versus Caden Carter. William Regal will make a huge announcement regarding the finish of the women's tag title match that'll change NXT forever, he said.
Okay.
So what the hell does that mean?
That's a good question, that maybe that those belts could be defended like all over the place.
I think they should. I you know what? I would much rather have them do that where the women's title gets get, you could defend it within all WWE Universe matches, you know?
Yeah.
The other thing I don't want to see is them announce a women's tag title for NXT.
Yeah, the roster is like too thin, but I would like to see that title defended on every brand. And they could do it, you know?
Hey, also, we got to also remember, there is a secondary NXT show that's going to start soon, right? On the WWE Network, on Peacock. So it's going to be called NXT Evolve, which I love because, you know, we Rich and I were big Evolve fans. I wonder if they'll still run LaBoom and run the Northeast territory.
Yeah, they definitely will. I think because
isn't
will.
It like 60% Evolve's roster or 75% all of Evolve's roster?
It's most of the, I feel like that 2017, 2018 roster is, yeah, 80% is Evolve dudes, you know, or guys who have worked in Evolve apart from EC3, who is in Ring of Honor right now,
EC3,
who signed a recent deal.
And EC3 worked in Evolve too, which is pretty cool. So I don't know. I don't know what that announcement is. I'm sure we'll find out what it is. But we'll go from there. Couple housekeeping stuff. AEW Revolution watch along 6:30 p.m. exclusively on Wrestling Observer on the F4W YouTube page. We'll be there. Maybe we'll simulcast it on their on some. You know what the problem is? We have so much going on that day, and they got so much going on that day. So we got it's almost like real TV. Where we got to like have like tight ins and outs. So I like to be on the YouTube channel so we could take our time a little bit.
Sure.
Go in. You could also join our Discord. We're going to be giving away prizes. Another 4 Observer 1 month subscriptions. We're going to be giving those away. Guys, if you have not gotten your subscription, please remind me to send another reminder. I'm going through the emails. I can't find everybody anymore for some reason. It's on me. Please remind me, and I will send. I will follow up on this. Also, follow our TikTok. That's on TikTok. Search for Matt Men Pro Wrestling. We're blowing up on TikTok right now. So, join our TikTok. Follow our TikTok.
So many views on TikTok. It's nuts.
And so, before we continue, dude, can we talk about Big Cass for a second before we get into AEW? He looked like a million bucks, man.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
A Bayside boy, another one of ours.
He's a Malloy boy.
Yeah, you're a Malloy boy.
I'm a Holy Cross boy.
Oh, you're a rival. You guys would beat each other up, right?
It was usually the St. Francis prep people.
You guys would beat up the prep kids.
Or they'd come and try to beat us up.
Okay. All right, perfect. Perfect.
Yeah, he's looking good, man. So you had MG Geek's favorite wrestler on the planet, Enzo, in a match for I think it was Lariato Pro for it was Doc Gallows' promotion.
Yeah,
in Georgia.
Doc Gallows. Yeah.
And then boom, Kaz XL shows up. Big Kaz looking, like you said, like a million bucks.
He looks good, man. I hope the best for this guy because he is a gigantic dude, very talented. I really hope he's got his, this is it. He's ready. He's going now. Listen, man, him showing up on Impact, him and Cass on Impact, because remember, there was an Impact banner. Mm-hmm. It was sponsored by Impact. So there might be something there. Let's wait and see. Let's see what happens here.
I think those guys would be perfect on Impact to quote unquote pop the territory.
Yeah.
And I do think, I'm getting a little ahead of myself because I feel like we're going to gloss over it. I feel like Miro should have signed with Impact.
Wait and see what happens.
Oh, you got some Miro dirt?
Let's see what happens.
All right. You want to go into Dynamite?
Let's go into Dynamite, baby.
Man, listen, I got a boner for wrestling right now.
Dude, I got to tell you, I'm going to be honest with you, okay?
Please.
I need to rewatch Dynamite, and I'm going to be full transparency with the audience, right? With the viewers.
Yes. Let's go.
I came home. I got home around 7:30 last night.
Yeah.
I had a glass of wine. I took my shower. Uh-huh. I poured a glass of wine, and I took a very delicious caramel. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. You know which caramel I'm talking about.
Oh, I do.
I was feeling good yesterday, especially during Dynamite. At one point, I envisioned myself. I manifested back to 1997 in my bedroom with my small 23-inch Hitachi TV.
Oh, yeah.
Channel flipping from TNT to USA. Turn on TNT. What do I see? Shaquille O'Neal's there. Tony Schiavone is there. The Giant is there. Tully Blanchard, Arne Anderson, Sting, and of course, J.J. Dillon. I don't know what era I was in. I was bouncing back and forth from 1987 to 1997 to 2021 in one shot.
Right?
It was really cool. I got it. I really enjoyed it. Now, maybe watching it today, I'm not going to find it as cool as I did yesterday, but I don't care. I kind of don't even want to watch it again because I had such a great experience watching this and chatting with everybody. And this goes for NXT, too. It wasn't just AEW. NXT also was a great show. And I watched as a fan, and I absolutely loved it. So now, Rich, let's go into the show.
Oh, brother. Listen, man, I agree with you 100,000%. Did that Hitachi TV have the VCR combo? Because I rocked that 19-inch Panasonic.
I got to tell you, I was bougie.
Little VCR combo. Yeah.
I was bougie. I never did the combo VCR TVs. This was a very nice Hitachi. My father was a big Hitachi fan, okay?
Yeah.
Loved
They're
Hitachi.
Great. They're great.
He only bought Japanese TVs. Everything he bought was Japanese. Clothing, Japanese.
Wow.
Towels, Japanese.
Sure.
Loved everything Japanese. So
food, Japanese.
Food, Japanese. All we did was eat sushi when I was a
Cars,
kid.
Cars, Japanese.
Japanese.
Wrestling,
so,
Japanese.
Japanese. You know what? I honestly think I'm kind of joking, but my father was like a big Japanese car guy. Like he loved Japanese car.
Yeah, he was like a racer, like a street racer.
He was a street racer, yeah. Tim Anger said he sent $20 but not showing up. I don't see it, but thank you, my friend.
Thanks, Tim. Much appreciated.
Always appreciate the $20.
All right, let's talk about this gnarly raging hard on that every single person on the planet had during AEW. I feel like I couldn't keep up with the text between you and I, the group text, texting Kyle. We're all like going crazy about this. You had the show open up with Jade Cargill and Shaq as a tag team versus Cody and Red Velvet.
All right, so I had very low expectation going into this match. Cody's hurt. He has a shoulder injury. A lot of people were speculating that maybe they might pull him from this. They didn't, and there was a reason for it, and I think they did a great job. This match definitely exceeded what I expected from it. Cody is super talented. Shaq did, I mean, they booked him like Andre, essentially. You know, he no-sold everything. He no-sold everything. Big chops. I had zero expectation for Shaq to do anything, but he looked really good. He didn't look great. He looked really good. We got Shaq and Cody through a freaking table, right? They were wiped out, and the girls did everything in this match.
So good. Listen, I'll be the first to tell you, I am in love with Jade Cargill.
Something very unique about her.
Talk about looking like a million bucks. I feel like she looks like a bazillion bucks. There is something very special about her, and I'm so shocked that WWE passed on her. Fitness icon, mom. She looks like two American gladiators put together. But
who Jade Cargill?
Yeah,
she does look like two American gladiators fused together. Yeah,
my wife was popping because like those classic heel moves really work. Like her looking at the camera and counting her abs. Red Velvet looked awesome. Cody is, listen, man, he's the son of a plumber, right? Like, of course he's going to have this match go off without a hitch. Shaq is dead now, right? Like, they put him through a table.
Oh, yeah.
He stuffed him in the ambulance, never to be seen from again.
Wait a minute. He disappeared from the ambulance, right? He just, like, poof, gone?
I think it was a quick cut, and he Undertakered out of the ambulance.
So what the hell? Did he escape? Is he driving the ambulance? Like, where the hell is he going?
Well, there was a Penta on Instagram posted a picture of him and Shaq, and I was like, I feel like this took place right after the match. Like their little selfie together or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
So like he hopped out of the ambulance. He's like, "Hey man, it's Penta El Cerro Miedo." And he took a picture with him.
That's it. Loved it. I got to tell you, loved it. They did a very good job. Cody, now this is a good excuse to get him out with an injury. Obviously he's hurt. So he worked hurt and he put himself through a table. I was far more impressed with the match than I thought I would be. It opened the show. It was, you know, so the first 15 minutes, they'll get a nice bump from it. I'm curious how it did, but the purpose, I, there was the suggestion is that they went on early mm-hmm. to give enough time for media to pick it up in the news that night for the 11 o'clock
smart.
Hour.
Smart.
So smart, right? So they went on at 8, gives them enough time to have these clips for whatever they ESPN or whatever they're going to use this on to use it on and get it organized. So, dude, Shaq, pretty cool.
This is before we move on, I know we're kind of we need to get to the question sooner than later. I think this is the epitome of what fun pro wrestling can be, where listen, it wasn't the greatest match. It wasn't a technical extravaganza, but it was
a spectacle.
It was a spectacle. It was one of the most fun things I've seen on wrestling TV in a very long time. And they pulled it off. So I think right after this, you had Phoenix and Pac in a squash match against John Skyler and D3. Cool. This was like definitely like you had to cool off the crowd a little bit, I guess, before the next segment.
Yeah, yeah. That's exactly what it was.
Max Caster beating 10 from the Dark Order. Matt Hardy paid Jack Evans like $5,000 to interfere or something. And then you jump into the Inner Circle press conference.
Yeah, so they did a good job with this. It was really funny. They had Rob from Barstool. They had Conrad Thompson, also known as Turkey Tits now.
Con-Con, man.
Con-Con
friend of the show.
Friend of the show. Conrad. I popped to see Conrad, you know, and I looked at Jess, and I'm like, that's my friend. That's what I said to her. And she looked at me like, I'm nuts. She had no idea what I was talking about. Eric Bischoff, also there, asked a question. Easy.
Oh, boy.
The Young Bucks came out to defend their father's honor, and they did a whole thing with them.
Well, second table spot of the night with Brandon Cutler, Gallows, and Anderson coming out. You had a double table spot with the Bucks putting Jericho and MJF through a table. Friggin' great. And you know what? As if this is the first 30 minutes of AEW.
Yeah.
Right? So not only that, but I feel like I'm getting goosebumps right now thinking about it. You had mother effing Onita in a yeah. recorded promo talking about Kenny and Mox in their barbed wire death match.
Okay, so that was really cool, right? To see Onita there and talking about the death match. We also got glimpses of what the ring is going to look like.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if that's the actual setup. So there was a video package while Onita's talking, and it's showing, you know, it's mm-hmm. mixing, you know, old Onita matches, death matches that he's yeah. had, mixing, you know, the ring exploding, because there's a majority of people have no idea what to expect with this, right? And
right,
the people
right.
that do know what to expect have a very high expectation of what mm-hmm. a death match should be. Now,
absolutely.
Here's where the trouble is. First of all, they showed some previews of the ring. You know, they got the mm-hmm. ring ropes, you know, with barbed wire wrapped around it. I don't know if they're going to put the cage up. I don't know how they're going to make this look.
Yeah.
I would prefer, personally, for it to resemble the early on death matches versus what we've seen later on with CZW
and
other death match, you know, organization, even the death matches in Japan. It doesn't have the mystique around it like the old ones did. The other thing is, I don't know if you can, because think about how gritty those tapes looked.
Yes.
Right? Like, it was, yeah. even if you were in the building was lit dim. It wasn't, there was, the whole wrestling production wasn't this high-end thing. You go right. into this, it's like a Saw movie. You know, you're watching Onita yeah. and Funk. There's bar wire, there's things exploding, there's bats with bar wire. It's just a total insane setup that looks like something from a Saw film or a Hostel film. And that is going to be very difficult to replicate. I think that yeah. is the biggest problem here. I don't think these guys are going to have a bad match. I think they're going to kill each other
yes.
because they know what's at stake. This is the first time in North America that you have seen a death match on pay-per-view or on TV. This is not something, and I'm not even counting, forget about CZW, forget about XPW, forget about what ECW barely was able to do this.
Right, right, right.
ECW barely did it. They had that Terry Funk Sabu barbed wire match. You know, it's interesting when you talk about that match, because the allure of that match and the remembrance of that match is far more than the actual match. The match wasn't that great.
Absolutely. You know? I think the Onita, if you guys have no idea what we're talking about, go check out those Onita barbed wire matches on YouTube, because they're all available for the most part. There is a certain art to it that you mentioned last week. It's not just a blood and guts free for all. There is actual storytelling involved. I would suggest Onita, Terry Funk, right?
Onita Terry Funk is a good one. Hayabusa Onita is another good one.
Mr. Pogo.
Mr. Pogo, Terry Funk, Funk, another good one. Yeah, the Mr. Pogo ones are good.
So ridiculous.
I really would love... What I was thinking we should have done, but I had no time with opening the clubs and the restaurants and the fire and everything else. Yeah. I had no time to do, but I would have loved to do us just breaking down two death matches.
Sure.
Just like telling the story of it, because we don't really have, I would love to go down like a story of Wings, like FMW story Wings, like Victor Quiñones and what an instrumental part he played with FMW and like a lot of these deathmatch. Like Victor Quiñones is a name that nobody ever talks about, but he played a tremendous part in pro wrestling in the early 90s, late 80s. You know, a lot of...
for sure.
I mean, a little Paul Lee-like, too. Listen, he managed Leatherface and Freddy Krueger and Crypt the Keeper and Jason, Mr. Pogo, Gato and Jada.
I feel like that was a lot of the allure, too, for like the 90s Japanese stuff.
Do you know what else is a weird thing, dude?
Friggin' Leatherface, yeah.
I'm gonna bring this up, and I don't know if anybody else has ever noticed this. If you ever watch late 80s, early 90s Japan, right? And you're listening to their promos, do you know that in the promos, the Japanese wrestlers will use a very derogatory term towards a Japanese person, right? An abbreviation of the word.
Yeah.
They use it often in every one of those promos, and they call each other that.
Different times.
Different times. I'm listening to Mr. Pogo cut a promo on, I forgot who it was. Onita, maybe, and he looked at it and called him that. He's like, "You're a blank."
You know, I find that a little fascinating because it's all one island, and I think you kind of get a hint of that from every so often on the American commentary for New Japan. Let's say, I'm not going to get the cities right, so I'm just making this up. So, like, let's say you're in the Tokyo Dome, and then you go to the Roppongi or something.
Osaka.
Right?
Osaka.
Yeah. The people in Osaka might have a bit of resentment towards Okada because he's not from that town, and he's from a different part of the island. You know? So, that kind of stuff is very fascinating.
Yeah, they bring that up every now and then. I just found it, I mean, it was kind of, like, shocking to hear it, but you also hear, like, the American town call them that also.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the hell? What bizarro? I got to tell you, 90s futurism Japan is my favorite aesthetic in the world.
Oh, boy.
You know what I mean? This like weird futuristic 1990s that takes place in Japan. That is the aesthetic I absolutely love.
Like Akira. We're talking about Akira again.
Yeah,
Akira. And you know what? I know it's not Japan, but L.A. and Blade Runner. The original Blade Runner also has that kind of same aesthetic, like that future dystopia almost, you know, or Main Street sometimes.
Main Street definitely has a future dystopia.
So they did something kind of interesting too, which, you know, while we're on the subject of the barbed wire death match, Mox and Kenny did not appear on the show.
You know, the show was really loaded. But it is weird that your main event, this big time match, did not have Mox or Omega on it. However, I think the explanation was that these guys are really training and they're focused in on this match. They don't have time to be on TV right now.
Very old school style of booking. Okay, so we're juiced up, right? We got Onita on TV. We're like, holy shit, this is happening. And guess what happens next?
The most insane thing.
Jurassic Express versus FTR and Tully Blanchard. I'm going to let you take over for this one.
Okay, so I did scream Tully Blanchard about 80 times at my TV, which my wife was not very happy because my kids woke up. But goddamn, Tully Blanchard showed up to have a match. The first time in 13 years. He had a match in 2007, I believe, the last time. However, he has not been on TNT, a Turner station, in about 32 years. Good he has not Lord. Had a match on Turner. He looked great, dude. Hit a slingshot suplex on Marco Stunt. So by the way, JJ effing Dillon ringside.
So oh my God.
They've set up a new horseman, essentially. So you have so Tully came out, had a match. Tully looked good. Listen, he's 67 mm-hmm. years old. By the way, not too far off from Sting. I want people to remember Sting is 62, Tully's 67. Mm-hmm. Tully was moving, man, for a guy that has not wrestled. He didn't look exhausted. He didn't look like an old man. No. I mean, you know what I mean? Like you could kind of see like the way people get up. You could tell actually when the guys are getting up and they use their thighs as leverage. You see a lot of like the older guys do that. He was looking good, man. You know, that was cool to see Tully in a match. JJ out there. So at the end of the match, there was an attack. By the way, they won. But Sean Spears unveiled, you know, he was wearing a hood. And now they're so with Sean Spears, JJ Dillon, FTR, and Tully Blanchard. Arn Anderson comes out down the ramp. And what does he do? He holds the four fingers up.
Oh my God. So, I took
the horsemen are
I'll
back.
I'll be honest with you.
great tribute. By the way, they did come out with the old titles.
Yes.
I believe Tully was wearing the TV championship, right? The NWA TV title. And I believe they had the NWA tag titles. Was it the NWA North American tag titles? The US tag title? What tag titles were they? Because they had like 80 of them.
I think it was the NWA ones.
Dude, freaking was awesome. I
crazy.
You know what? It's so simple to do something like that. It's so freaking simple to do that. And it does nothing to harm the product. It just creates a buzz. And I've been saying WWE needs to do this. When they do those retro nights, old school Raw or Attitude Era Raw, why wouldn't you put the old titles on these guys?
Exactly. You know, I think Jericho had an interview earlier, either yesterday, maybe during the show or after the show, and he brought up the best point, which is, guess what? AEW is using these older guys in the best capacity, as opposed to Vince bringing out these older guys and having the crowd make fun of them.
Yeah. You know, WWE brings a guy out. He's dancing to the Tutti Frutti. You know, that's
right.
That's really that's the way that they book. It's a different type of show, really. I very much enjoyed this. I really did. I thought it was cool. I popped for myself. Tully's boots were fire. As Dave D in our chat room said, I think, listen, WWE needs to do this. You know what? How awesome would it be? They do an old school Raw or SmackDown, whatever they do. And fucking Roman Reigns comes out with that WWE, the Eagle belt, you know, the double winged Eagle belt.
That'd be awesome.
Or he comes out with the big one. Or, you know, one of them uses the world title, an old IC title, old tag titles. Freaking it's fan service, but sometimes it's necessary. I it's not a bad thing to do this. It's a positive.
You know what it is? And it kind of, there's like an odd thing that I feel like it just is not subliminal, but like it's very subtle where like, okay, Tully comes out with that belt, right?
Yeah.
So maybe like a younger viewer is going to be like, whoa, who's this guy? What's that? What's the deal with this? And they're going to go online and look at it. And at some point, more than likely, it may lead back to the WWE Network to see older clips of like Tully and Arn and some horseman stuff, right?
Listen, I want to see more Tully.
Same here, dude. I think they that match, fantastic. They did a good job. And right after that, I think you had Paul White coming out saying with tears in his eyes, saying they're going to unveil a Hall of Fame worthy signing on Sunday.
So so it's not someone that's in the Hall of Fame. It's a Hall of Fame worthy signing. And he also said it's not who you think it is. So well, that to me meant CM Punk. I wasn't thinking anybody until he said it's not who you think it is. And the first thing that came to mind was CM Punk.
Yeah.
Right.
I agree with that. It's not going to be CM Punk, but again, you never know.
Could it be Christian? He's not signed yet.
I was thinking three people.
Okay. Shoot.
Christian.
Okay. Because he's not in the Hall of Fame. So he is Hall of Fame worthy.
RVD.
He is Hall of Fame worthy.
Bubba Dudley.
He is in the Hall of Fame.
He's in the Hall of Fame, but also I believe Devon's sons are.
Yes.
In AEW, right?
They are there.
Or it could be a female.
It could be a female. I don't think it is a female. Bubba's interesting. Bubba's very interesting.
RVD, also interesting.
Hall of Fame worthy guy to sign. It has some, but I believe they said two. There's two guys, right?
Huh. Okay.
Wasn't it two people? I thought Kurt Angle. Honestly, if you were telling me who, if you're like, oh, Hall of Fame guy, yeah, I thought Kurt Angle, but Kurt Angle's in the Hall of Fame, so it's not going to be Kurt Angle because he's not Hall of Fame worthy. He is the Hall. Mm-hmm. He is in the Hall of Fame. So, and Bubba's in the Hall of Fame too.
It's very fascinating. I feel like the speculation is kind of interesting. It really could be like, I feel like there's a million people we're forgetting who had great wrestling runs that aren't on WWE television right now.
I mean, I'm looking at the chat right now. Mark Henry, let's see, Kurt Angle, Brock Lesnar, Sabu.
Kane.
Kane is signed. Kane is under contract. Kane won't do anything. Anybody else? I don't know. Very curious who it is.
It's Enchanté.
Hall of Fame worthy. It's Enchanté. Ooh.
So
maybe it's a New Japan guy. What if it's Okada?
That's what I said. If it's Okada, I will I will do a standing moonsault through your window.
Yeah. So very, very interesting. So by the way, Big Show's wearing a shirt. No more BS.
Listen, great message.
Lita, people are saying Lita.
Lita would be
Taker,
cool.
Trish. Trish is in the Hall of Fame. Foley's Taker in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Imagine if it was Taker. Imagine if he was like, you know what? F this.
Maybe he took Shaq.
Oh, boy. All right. So let me ask you.
Yes, sir.
Can you remember a more jam-packed hour of wrestling than what we saw last night?
No, it was really, you know what, it was like the show they did a couple of weeks ago, you know, where they like packed the freaking show. This was a really, really packed show.
Yeah.
Every second there was something going on. Curious about the signing, we'll find out on Sunday. I really, the first hour was great, and now we're going into the second hour. We had Mizunami and Nyla Rose. I thought Nyla was going to take this match.
Same here.
But really, they both look great. I thought this was a good match. I was a little worried about the matchup because they have very different styles, but they worked really hard in this match, and Mizunami defeated Nyla Rose.
I'm pretty excited for the Mizunami and Sheeta match. They had a bit of a back and forth with the stiff elbows.
Yeah.
So
they beat the crap out of each other.
So I think the rest of the show was a little bit of a come down. It's not a letdown, but the rest of AEW was definitely a come down from all the excitement from that first hour.
The main event was an odd pick. It shows that they probably flipped the main event in the opening match. You kind of came down from this point on, but you know, NXT had a far better main event than what we saw on AEW. I'll tell you that. But we got after this match, we got a Sting promo. Sting got his butt kicked, and Darby made the save. Sting looks good, man. You know, they're doing a good job with this.
Yeah, it's fine. Listen, I think I'm looking forward to that match.
It's like Sting's little kid.
It's like I keep thinking like Darby Allin's like Bart Simpson.
It's the Crow and Bart Simpson again. 90s all over again, right? Darby Allin is the epitome of Bart Simpson wrestling. But what if this is like another sequel to the Crow, right? This is the storyline in making. Here's the Crow, an old man by now, still trying to fight vigilante. You know, he's a vigilante fighting crime. And here's Darby Allin, a new undead boy that he's mentoring.
Is Sting undead? Have we established that?
Well, yeah, I think so. I think he's an undead guy.
Or is he just mysterious? Because has he displayed like spooky powers?
Didn't he shoot lightning at one point? I feel like he did. I want to say yes, too. I feel like he's done this. Like that. Like one of these. And then lightning bolts start flying out of his hands.
Like the Emperor from Star Wars?
Yeah, like this. He's like, they're like, Lex Luger's in the ring and he just looks at him and goes, whoa!
Is he like Abe Vigoda? Yeah. I want to say during the Hunter feud, he zapped Hunter with lightning, but I feel like I might be misremembering
that. Dude, no, you know what it was? It was one of those buzzer handshake tricks. That's what you're remembering.
Oh, he gotcha'd him.
He got like a drunk uncle at Thanksgiving. Rich, come here. Let me shake your hand. Hey, I got you.
Speaking of like gotcha buzzer tricks, imagine if Sting came out as Joker Sting on Sunday. Would you be upset about that?
I'd be into it too.
Yeah. It's just so weird. I'm completely happy with this. Tony Khan has created like this really tight sandbox like this wrestling planet that this guy's made, and I'm definitely here for it. And I like the battle. Listen, that big brawl at the end, that worked. Great go home show.
Yeah. Hangman Page and John Silver beat Matt Hardy and Mark Quinn. Huge brawl after the show. All the teams after the match, all the teams in the Battle Royal came in. Big schmoz. And we'll see you next time. And ended the show.
Big schmoz. Do you want to quickly go into what we have left, or do you want to do the questions since we have about 20 minutes left?
Let's go quickly into Revolution predictions really quickly.
Great.
We'll do our AEW predictions, and then we'll do our Q&A, so make sure you post them in the notes. So, AEW Revolution this Sunday will be live on the Wrestling Observer website and, of course, on F4W Online's YouTube account. You could head on over there and subscribe, obviously, but you could join us at 6:30 p.m. Eastern. The show begins at 8 p.m., pre-show at 7 p.m. We'll be live at 6:30. So a lot of big announcements, a lot of big stuff. So, Rich, let's go down this card and do a quick prediction.
All right, sounds good. So you have the money match. I'm sorry, I missed something here. Orange Cassidy and Chuck Taylor versus Miro and Kip Sabian with Penelope Ford. I think Miro needs the win. You know, like I said, I feel like this dude's better off on... From my perspective as a fan, I'm like, this dude would have been better off on Impact. But I'm glad he's in AEW because... he has familiar faces there that can help him.
I think he also has to kind of get in the swing of things a little bit with different people. Yeah. You know, they're holding off on him. They have plans for Miro for sure.
Okay, cool. Who do you think takes it?
I would go with Miro and Kip to take this.
Cool. You had the money match with Matt Hardy versus Hangman. The winner receives the opponent's 2021 first quarter earnings. I'm gonna go Hangman.
I'm going to go Hangman too, and you're going to see Matt Hardy, you know, throw a fit at the end, or you're going to find out he really doesn't have any money.
Great.
He doesn't make as much money as they think, and Hangman actually makes more money than him. So he looks at his check. He'll like look at the check and be like, that's all you're getting paid, and he'll hand it back to him.
Dude, you nailed it.
That's the finish I want.
You nailed it. Why? Because Hangman, this is going to probably play out on like Wednesday or whatever. But you can easily see him going, hey, Hangman, I got to tell you something. Not only was I broken Matt Hardy, I'm broke Matt Hardy. that's going to be the story going into... Matt Hardy? Fantastic. Good job, Andrew. Casino Tag Team Royal, Bear Country, Alex Reynolds and John Silver, Evil Uno and Stu Grayson, Santana and Ortiz, Butcher and the Blade, Private Party, and Top Flight. It's going to be fun. The winning team receives a future tag team title match.
I'm going to go Santana and Ortiz, but only because MJF and Jericho should win the tag titles, and you're going to create even more of an issue amongst the inner circle.
I'll agree with that 100%. You have the Face of the Revolution ladder match. Cody versus Penta versus Scorpio Sky versus Lance Archer versus Max Caster versus Turnbuckle Dan. Turnbuckle Andy. This is going to be where I think the signing shows up, right? Because it's either going to be the same person or another person.
I don't know. That's the thing. So the winner of this will receive a future AEW TNT championship match. Mm. You may have two openings because Cody may not wrestle in this.
True.
Right? So... I don't know who you put in this. I don't even want to guess on who Shaq. The TBA is. Who do you think?
Shaq.
Shaq. I don't know.
Climb that ladder. Give you a Shaq-a-roni.
I wanted to do a Shaq-a-roni.
He's just throwing Shaq-a-ronis out into the crowd.
Yeah.
Calling the general, whatever other products that he hawks. You also have the street fight between Sting, Darby Allin versus Brian Cage and Ricky Starks. Sting and Darby have to win this, right?
Sting and... Yeah, 100% Sting and Darby need to win this. But is this... This is not going to be live, right? This is a cinematic match?
I don't know. I think it's going to be, I feel like they should do a cinematic match, which would be kind of cool. You know, I feel like they can film it very well. AEW World Tag Team Championship match, the Young Bucks versus Chris Jericho and MJF. Bucks retain, right?
I'm going to go Jericho and MJF. I would like to see Jericho and MJF. The odds are that the Bucks retain, but if my Santana and Ortiz winning the Battle Royal works, then it should be Chris Jericho and MJF.
Okay. Fair enough. Hikaru Shida versus Ryu Mizunami for the AEW Women's World Championship. You know, I think Shida retains again, but it's going to be like a really hard-fought match.
Yeah, Shida will retain. I'm going to go with Shida retaining. I'm surprised it's Mizunami and Shida. Very surprised by that.
I think it's...
Not that I'm against it. I'm into it.
Yeah. I think it's cool. It's cool because you're going to have like a very like Japanese style match with them. It's going to add to the show. And finally, you have the AEW World Championship match, Exploding Barbed Wire Death Match between Kenny Omega with Don Callis and Jon Moxley. Kenny retains, in my opinion.
Kenny retains with a Blewett Club, a Bullet Club reunion. I'm going to go with that. A Blewett Club. You know what? If they don't do this, then they did. It is the Blewett Club because they blew it.
That's good. That's Kenta a TikTok
probably, that is. Kenta probably. I would. The way I would do this, Kenta interferes. Other Bullet Club members interfere. Becomes a whole thing. Now you've set up another Jon Moxley Kenta match to take place for the U.S. title, but this time on AEW TV.
I'll agree with that. I also think Moxley is going to take some time off for the baby.
The baby, yeah, because she's due, I don't know when, soon.
Soonish, right? So soon-ish. Why not? I also feel like Kenny is going to, this might just be like my fandom, but I do feel like they're going to explode that Hayabusa scale of blood.
Okay, if they do, very happy. And we'll talk about this when we're on our, are we doing a preview this weekend?
You want to do it before the show? You want to do it on Sunday?
I was thinking do it Saturday for Sunday.
Let me get back to you on that.
Get back to me.
No, I know, you know it's no, Saturday I can't. Sorry.
Okay. All right. So we won't do it. But either way, they got to live up to the expectation of what it could be. They can't screw this up. So I know that they know that this bar is set. They have to do a great job. There's no excuse. They can't, and it has to look good aesthetically. That's the biggest thing here.
But this kind of,
this kind of goes into the other thing. We were talking about the U.S. title match with Kenta. Jon Moxley retained last Friday, had a match with Kenta, empty building, for New Japan for the IWGP U.S. title. Jon Moxley won. A lot of people thought Kenta would win this, but it was a very hard hitting match.
It was
fine. It was good. I didn't love it as much as some other people loved it. Some people love this match. It was good. It was a good match.
Loved it.
Loved it. New Japan is also unifying the IWGP heavyweight title and the Intercontinental title to create a new belt that will be recognized as the World Heavyweight Championship. Kento will be recognized as the first ever IWGP World Heavyweight Championship. So now... I've always looked at the IWGP title as a world title, but now they're calling it a world title because it's obviously going to be defended in other places. This will, the question is, what does this mean to the lineage of the IWGP title? I think this continues the heavyweight title lineage, but the IC title's no more.
I'm okay with that, you know, especially since they have that U.S. title, which I feel like is more beneficial to the company.
Yeah, the U.S. title is kind of taking the place of that, but also probably going to come back, the IC title.
And there's a lot of titles. You have your six-man title, your tag title, your junior tag,
never
your heavyweight tag, your never, you know, and I think you have your trios, right?
Yeah. So you got a lot of belts there.
Yeah, it's okay if they lose one belt. That's fine. Perfectly fine. You want to do questions?
Let's do questions, boys and girls. Submit them in the chat room. We're going to do our best to answer them as quickly as possible. We have a bunch of questions. Rich, what are the questions?
Quick shout out to Mr. Gonzo. I hope you're happy. Look at this. Look how tight we did this.
We did do this tight.
So tight. So we got a few more minutes here, and we're going to go through them. Andretti on Twitter asks, do you think Jade's debut should have been in a singles match instead of debuting in a tag match with Shaq? Maybe she got outshined?
You know what? Where do you go?
Great debut, dude.
Great, yeah. Yeah, I think it worked. I get the conversation to have, like, do you want to profile her individually? I think the fact that she got so much, she would not have been in a match like this, I'll tell you that. And they probably practiced this to no extent. I mean, really took time with this to kind of get everything going. Very good showing for both her and Red Velvet.
Oh, 100%, man. Like, they're both going to be on top of that women's division in the next couple of years. I think Jade, like we've been saying, something super special about her. Very, very impactful debut in a gimmicky match, which I feel like is very hard to pull off.
Yeah.
The fifth generation Carney asks, do you guys think Impact will move to Thursdays?
Why not? Right. Okay. By the way, I predicted, and let me just touch on this because I didn't mention this during the show. A lot of people have been asking, like, well, what are the ratings going to be now that these shows are on two separate nights? I don't think you're going to see like a tremendous swing in the ratings. Like, don't think AEW is going to have another 600,000 people watching every week. You got to remember, a lot of these viewers, they're back and forth viewers. A lot of them won't watch AEW. A lot of them won't watch NXT. You know, they're going to get a bump for sure. It's just a matter of how much. I don't know. I think AEW will get them better 50 plus viewership. Okay. Now that you know NXT is not on, that'll get bumped a little bit. If you see another 200,000 to 300,000 viewers, that's tremendous. You know, and the same goes for NXT. The same will go for them. If they're in the 750 to 900 range, that's where they're gonna be. I think a lot of people are expecting these numbers to be blockbuster numbers. Get that out of your head. It's not. You know, a lot of the viewership is shared. The other thing that I found out was, you know, we talk about the viewers who are only, you know, people like 2 million people watch SmackDown or 1.8 million watch Raw. Those are total viewers, right? We're not talking about the people that just watch for like 5 minutes or 6 minutes. Right. You know what I mean? If you add those people, like SmackDown gets like 8 million people some nights that watch at some point concurrent, you know, like at one point they're watching. I don't know what the AEW numbers are, and I don't know what the NXT numbers are for that. I know that AEW with the DVR numbers is about 1.2 million, 1.3 million, 1.4 million maybe. But WWE gets about like let's go a little lower. 6 million eyeballs on a Friday night.
Okay.
I just wanted to add that.
Are we ready for the next one?
Yes.
When you talk numbers, I go to Bobby Lashley's Rock Planet. It's no offense to you. I'm just not a numbers guy. So whenever I hear any number over 10, I'm like, ugh.
It's too much.
It's too much for me. Bob Rowe asks, when WWE goes to Peacock, are pay-per-view events included like WrestleMania or are they cost plus?
No, the pay-per-views are going to be included in the Peacock deal. The big problem here is the migration. A lot of speculation that there is no migration to do. So the way they should have done this was have the network app run for, let's say, 6 months or 8 months, the WWE network app, where everything is still there. And on the side, there's a little thing that says Peacock. And if you click on that, it takes you to the Peacock portal. And if you run it on the Peacock app, there's a WWE thing that takes you right to the WWE portal. So I don't know how they're doing this exactly. I've asked. I've heard 10,000 different ways that they're going to migrate. I don't think this is going to be a super smooth transition. I'll just put that there.
Okay. Let's see what else we got here. And we got a lot of questions today, guys, so be patient. If we don't get to it, try again next week. John Gorman asks, realistically speaking, who do you think will be, listen guys, if you're gonna ask questions, please use proper spelling.
John,
realistically speaking, who do you think will be the mystery signing to AEW, and who do you think will be the seventh entrant in the ladder match? We just discussed that.
RVD, I don't know. Dude. Go with RVD. I don't know. And I like the surprise element here. I mean, it has to be someone big if they're promoting it, right? If they're saying a future Hall of Famer. I mean, Christian could be it, but is Christian a big pop? You know? I don't know.
I
also don't want to see Christian there because I think there's a lot to do with Edge when he wins a title, if he wins a title. There's still something there.
Rhino?
You want him at WrestleMania. Don't you want Christian at WrestleMania? Why wouldn't you lock him?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Batcher 3000 asks, who is a good one? Who would you like to be the fourth member of the new Horsemen?
Miro.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm going to go Hangman.
Hangman? Okay.
That's Hangman? Cool. Hangman? You're so surprised.
Oh, oh puppies.
I
turned to the king.
No, I don't want to be on your podcast. Jeff Samuel asks, I know you won't like this, but boy, but how do you feel about Penta and Phoenix getting a manager like a Chavo or Shaq? Who would you like to see manage them?
I would like to. Chavo, I'm cool with. That's fine. Cool with I don't want to see Shaquille O'Neal managing anybody because he's so gigantic. He's going to make them these guys look so puny. But
how great would that be though? He's like, come on my shoulders. Come on, Ray Phoenix, Penta El Cerro Miedo. He's doing this shit like backstage. you know what? I think they nailed it already when Kingston was their mouthpiece, yeah. But Chavo would be great. Yeah.
I'm loving your Shaq, by the way.
Thanks. Thanks. John Gorman, do you think WWE might pivot real quick and do Lashley versus Lesnar at WrestleMania in the big double L match?
Listen, that match has to happen. I don't know if that's going to be the match at WrestleMania because Drew still needs to do something. But we got a pay-per-view before WrestleMania, so I have no idea where this is headed.
All right, let's see here. Do you let wrestlers' political beliefs make you like them less or more? Example, the Young Bucks being birthers, or Chris Jericho sending his wife and mother-in-law to the Capitol riots?
Jericho didn't send anybody anywhere, right?
It's also not the show for this. But
I really don't care where people fall politically. I'm not one of these people that tells you F you if you have a different political belief than I do. I think it's ridiculous. Everybody's different. Everybody has different upbringings. Everybody has a different answer to the same question. So I would never hold somebody's political beliefs against them unless they're, you know, just crappy human beings. I don't hold what Jericho posts or the Young Bucks or anybody else. Or even if you're left-leaning, I don't hold that against you if you have some radical belief.
100%. Like, you can think whatever you want. If you want to be misinformed with either political leaning, that's fine. But if you're a misinformed asshole, I think that's when it becomes toxic. And you know what?
You're right. That's it. You know how many people I know, like family events, dude. You know, like someone's like, oh, did you read? You know, once I hear that, I'm like, I'll politely be like, actually, it wasn't that way. It was like this. You know, like right now here in New York, everybody's losing their mind over Cuomo. So I'm like, I just check out at this point. I don't want to see anything with politics anymore. I'm out.
Did you hear? Also, guys, breaking news. I'm a flat earther.
I knew it.
That's when you get that's when you get like a really amazing pizza that's covered in blue and green dye.
You know what? Is that how you get to Bobby Lashley's planet? You got to break that ice barrier and then you just go over to the rock planet. It's like a map in World of Warcraft.
Oh my God. It's like Bobby Lashley's ice planet. I think the flat earthers think Earth is like Asgard from the first Thor movie where it just hovers in space.
Yes. Yeah. That is what they believe.
And the water goes nowhere. Listen, shout out to all my flat earthers out there.
Yeah. Which are ridiculousness. Love it.
I think that question would have been better if it was, do you think, would you have a different opinion on wrestlers if they were flat earthers?
I would, actually. That I would.
Yeah, absolutely. With this is from Transferring Heat Podcast. With AEW recreating Nitro and hiring the over 50s, Hall of Fame worthy guy has to be Scott Steiner. And will this new Sean Spears gimmick find... This is like 8 questions in one, dude. Will this new Sean Spears... let's just do them really quick.
Okay.
Is it Scott Steiner?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think it's going to be Scott Steiner either. Will Sean Spears' new gimmick finally work? Sure.
Maybe.
Is William Regal's big announcement next week that NXT is opening the Forbidden Door for Raw and SmackDown?
Maybe.
Yeah. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Let's see... Where do we go? This is from Mr. Johnzo, the Habibi Playboy. Did Ciampa and Gargano refuse to leave NXT cause a knee-jerk reaction to calling up talent to the main roster?
Well, what happened was Ciampa got injured. They were both called up, but when he got injured, they had nothing for Gargano because they were going to be a tag team coming up, you know, on the main roster for a little bit. That fell apart, so they just went back to square one.
Okay. Let's see. From Maj Raju, do you think, I hope I pronounced that right, do you think SmackDown got plans for Aleister Black? Because if WWE built him good, you can get Roman versus Aleister.
They screwed this guy up badly with the eye gimmick. I don't know what the plans for him are. I really don't know what it is.
From Hothead 567, when does AEW leave Daly's place?
So a lot of speculation when, because if you went to the AEW website or like their ticket website, you could see that there are tickets for sale for Philadelphia in April. What I believe those are the tickets that they had for sale last year that they have to still honor at one point. So I think it's just like a Ticketmaster thing where they got to like have those tickets available just in case. And then when the date, when it gets closer to the date, they're just going to bump it to another one. The only event right now that I've heard is official is that possibly Chicago in September. And of course the, that Rochester show that they're going to do. I'm sorry. No, cool. The Jersey show that they're going to have to make up.
I'm going to pitch you an idea. So when they leave Daly's place, they're going to go to Diamond Dallas's house and call it Daly's place.
Daly's place. That's what they're going to do.
They're just going to wrestle in all the rooms in his mansion.
I like that, actually.
Last question of the day.
Yes, sir.
From our friend Tim Anger.
Yes.
Big shout out to Tim Anger. What is the future for Undisputed Era? And will any of them ever be called up to the main roster?
I think the future's over for them.
Oh, boy.
I think maybe they'll do a return back, but I think this is the beginning of the split for them. You know, utilize them in different positions. I think that, you know, did it run its course? Yeah, I think a little bit. You know, not having an audience there definitely was time to do something with them. But listen, when they do have a reunion with a live audience, how tremendous is that going to be?
Dude, I'm telling you, they're going to milk it like the Shield.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure.
I had a dream the other night that I was in the Shield, except it was me, Roman, Seth, and Dean Ambrose.
Okay.
But legitimate mercenaries.
Oh, okay. You were like legitimate going out there to find people.
Like A-Team style, in the jungles. And it was a pretty rad dream. And I woke up and I was like, ooh, I watch a lot of wrestling.
Guys, that's it for this week. If you're watching this live, hey, I'll be on Wrestling Observer Live today at 3 o'clock, 3:30, something like that. I'll be on then. We will be back this Sunday with our watch along starting 6:30 p.m. East, exclusively on the F4W YouTube page. Of course, WrestlingObserver.com. You can get all the information over there. A lot to talk about this weekend. We'll have a lot of fun. Get some drinks. Our buddy Kyle is going to be joining us because he's been in death matches. He's been in hardcore matches. Yeah. So who better to have here kind of break down what we're seeing than a guy that's already been in these type of matches. So he'll be joining us on Sunday, doing a lot of giveaways. We'll have a lot of fun. You can follow Rich, BTC Rich. Rich has been doing a podcast, The Return of Behind the Counter 2.0. Rich, where can people find it?
You can find me at BTC Rich on Twitter, and you can find the podcast on YouTube at BTC Rich X. Please subscribe to it. I do an interview with a different creator every week. So I kind of want to hit 100 and just let's see where it goes, man. If you guys like comic books, come check it out.
Awesome. 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 Guys, you can follow me on Twitter at Andrew Zarian. You can follow Mattman Podcast everywhere. Podcasts are available. Your favorite podcasting apps here on YouTube, of course. And you can follow our social pages. Just look up Mattman Podcast wherever you are. You'll find us. TikTok is Mattman Pro Wrestling. And we'll see you all on Sunday. Take care.